letter of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 9 to 14. Take off the old human nature with its practices and put on a new self, one that grows in knowledge as it is formed anew in the image of its creator. And in that image there is no Greek or Hebrew, no Jew or Gentile, no barbarian or Scythian, no slave or free citizen. There is only Christ, who is all things and is in all people. Because you are God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with heartfelt compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive in the same way God has forgiven you. Above all else, put on love, which binds the rest together perfectly.
Marcelli. Friends, as we hear this word, we say this is part of our story. Thanks be to God. I have a dream. Most of us are familiar, even if only in passing, with that famous speech of Martin Luther King Jr., the speech delivered on August 28, 1963, at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., the speech forever now referred to by that phrase, "I have a dream." What most of us may not know, however, was that the most famous and most moving portion of this speech, the part where Martin Luther King says, "I have a dream," it almost never existed. King never intended to talk about a dream. It wasn't even in his notes. But as he stood at the podium that day, taking the stage right after a rousing performance by Mahalia Jackson, Martin Luther King started his speech, got about halfway through, then paused. And in that pause, as Clarence B. Jones recounts, in that breach, something unexpected, historic, and largely unheralded happened. Into this gap, Mahalia Jackson, standing 50 feet behind, spontaneously shouted, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream." And at that moment, everything changed. For a split second, King looked over to Jackson, then took his papers on the lectern, moved them to the left, and proceeded to speak completely ad lib. Instead of looking down at his notes, King began to speak from the heart. Inspired by the cry from Jackson, King turned back to the dream. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair, I say to you today, my friends. For though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream today that one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream. Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream. Over the course of the last 4 weeks, we've been exploring the notion of standing in the gap. The idea of not just taking a side, of sitting on either part of a social divide, but instead striving to be a bridge, standing in the gap between different groups, actively working for reconciliation. And in part one of this series, Julia talked about the reason why standing in the gap is so important. For as Paul writes in our reading from Colossians, we are invited, even implored, to take off the old human nature with its practices and put on a new self, one that grows in knowledge as it is formed anew in the image of its Creator. We've all experienced the old human nature with its practices these days. Growing distrust, dehumanization, demonization, ostracization, shame and blame and pointed fingers, polarization and families being pulled apart over differences of opinion. Yet Paul encourages us Christians to experience something else, to put on a new self, that pivots from participating in or propagating us versus them kinds of thinking, a new self that shifts away from exacerbating social rifts even further, but instead helps to create a new future, one in which we do the brave and daring work of standing in the gap together. So how do we do that work? What does standing in the gap require? Well, that's where the rest of this series has come in. As Julia and I have outlined, three components, three postures, three essential principles put forth by Paul that can help us take off the old human nature with its practices and put on a new self. Using language from Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness, we've been calling these three elements a strong back, a soft front, and today, a wild heart. Let's review. For Paul, the strong back that enables us to risk standing in the gap is our identity as God's chosen people, holy and beloved. Because you are God's chosen people, holy and beloved, Paul writes, that's the firm foundation, the flexible but sturdy structure that enables us to bravely step out from our self-affirming silos and from our heavily defended front. Knowing who and whose and what we are, chosen, given a task, a larger purpose, holy, enlivened and inspired by the divine, and beloved, loved, no matter what we do. That's an inner grounding greater than any other label, team, opinion, or party line. That's a strong back that keeps us from being rocked when met with derision or resistance from others. And from the strong back, then comes a soft front. Because you are God's chosen people, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another, forgive, and above all else, put on love, which binds the rest together perfectly. Julia talked about the soft front last week. In a time when we are tempted to put on emotional and psychological armor and keep people at arm's length, she said, standing in the gap requires the opposite. It requires vulnerability, the willingness to experience risk, uncertainty, and emotional exposure, to open ourselves up to the pain and suffering of others, to see another person for who they are and what they're going through, to let down our guard so that we can come together for dialogue. Without a strong back, a soft front can't truly happen. And it's also only from a soft front that we can dare to have a wild heart. A wild heart that is curious, hopeful, and imaginative. A wild heart that looks and walks beyond the former boundaries. A wild heart that offers up a wider vision far beyond the widening divisions. A wild heart that has a dream. Take off the old human nature with its practices and put on a new self, Paul writes. One that grows in knowledge as it is formed anew in the image of its creator. And in that image, there is no Greek or Hebrew, no Jew or Gentile, no barbarian or Scythian, no slave or free citizen. There is only Christ, who is all things and is in all people. Now that's a wild heart indeed. And it might be easy for us to gloss over this incredibly expansive picture painted by Paul because, well, we don't really think in terms like Greek or Hebrew, Jew or Gentile, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free citizen these days. Those categories, these gaps between different groups and individuals don't resonate with us at all. But they did in Paul's day. And this passage from Paul's letter is bursting with counterintuitive imagery. It's pushing his audience past their binary black and white thinking. It's presenting a whole new world and way of thinking, the way of a wild heart. Just substitute Greek or Hebrew for conservative or liberal. Swap out Jew or Gentile with progressive or evangelical Christian. Switch barbarian or Scythian with rural or urban. Slave or free citizen with vaccinated or anti-vaxxer, and you get the point. Anyone that we can neatly put into a box, Paul clearly insists is made in the image of the Creator. Anyone that we are quick to dehumanize, Paul says, Christ is in them. To any division that we try and apply, Paul offers up this wild-hearted reply, take off the old nature with its practices and put on a new self. One that grows in knowledge as it is formed anew in the image of its creator. And in that image, there is no Greek or Hebrew, no Jew or Gentile, no barbarian or Scythian, no slave or free citizen. There is only Christ, who is all things and is in all people. It's almost as if Paul is shouting, just like Mahalia Jackson, into the breach, into our pauses, the gaps between us and so many others. Tell them about the dream. Tell them about the dream. and as we hear Paul shout from the background, may we too take our script, the patterns we have had passed down, our old human nature with its practices, and push it to the side. Instead of looking down at our notes, may we too begin to speak from the heart. Inspired by this cry from Paul, with a strong back and a soft front and a wild heart, may we turn back to the dream as well. And in that moment, may everything change. Thanks be to God.